We shall now, for the time given, turn again to the word of God which we read in the epistle of Paul to the Hebrews chapter 1. And as the Lord may be pleased to help us, we shall read the three first verses. Look at the three first verses. A God who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself paid our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. These are the words which are before us, whereby we find the Apostle Paul when he begins. It begins with these words which are before us, pointing out the excellency of the gospel of Jesus Christ, especially that God spoke by his Son, and having laid before us how God spoke and revealed himself and his mind unto the as he says, to our fathers. It was by the prophets in diverse manners. So in these times, which is in the gospel times, he has spoken unto us by his Son. And what we are want to draw our attention to, It is this whom God has spoken by, and we see the excellency of him and the excellency of his message, and in so much so that here is what we find under the gospel. The gospel couldn't be nothing if it does not bring Christ, if it doesn't not bring him who died, and him who rose again, and by that God confirming that the sacrifice has been accepted. And this is what the gospel is declaring to poor sinners, unworthy on their way to lost eternity. This is the message now in the new dispensation. In the last dispensation, which now God speaks unto us, so that we should not take the gospel lowly, that would see the excellence of the gospel. It does not bring a type. It does not bring something which is hidden. It is so clear for what Christ has done and what he did, and that which he did, the great work of salvation. We hear that God raised him from the dead, and thereafter he ascended unto heaven with all power given unto him, even power to save even the chief of sinners. Those that come unto him by faith, they shall be saved. And God has very manifested it in this great work of redemption, by raising him from the dead, showing that God accepted the work that was done by Christ. And so much so that through that work, those that believe in him, who hold upon him, hear what it is said of him. He sitteth on the right hand of God, all power given unto him. And so what a great wonder that the gospel brings unto us. And so it is the excellency of the gospel, which is manifested in Christ Jesus, which is the mind of God, to save poor sinners as we are. We are under the gospel. It is us today, it is us in our time, whom God is now speaking to us by his Son. So as we look at these things, when we see the excellence of the gospel dispensation above that of the law, and also as we see God communicating himself and bringing out his own mind, and we look mostly on this, to save poor sinners, the way of salvation, how it is brought before us. And as the apostle speaks of, in sundry times, he spoke in divers manners and spake in passing to our fathers by the prophets. He spoke by the prophets. And so as we understand how he spoke by the prophets, it is said they saw that day far, far away, when God was revealing himself, and we hear the footsteps of Christ as they saw him in shadows and types. Who is this who is coming? Who is this who was to come? And so God was revealing, unfolding in shadow and types these great matters that concern the salvation of men. And so it was, as you hear that, how he spoke to Adam, soon after men fell, there was a promise of the Messiah. There was one to be born of a woman. There was one who was to be, who was promised as a seed of a woman. And so he spoke to Abraham, that this one was to come. He was to come from his loins. And he spoke unto Jacob, and that he would come, be of the house of Judah. And so he spoke even of Isaiah the prophet, that he was to be born of a virgin. And he spoke of him with the prophet Micah, and we hear what it was said. He was to be born in Bethlehem. When the fullness of time had come, he was to be born in Bethlehem. But now, as we look at this, and trying to draw our attention to this message of the gospel, and looking at this one, who is the marrow of the gospel, even the Lord Jesus Christ, we will see then that God in this time, the New Testament times, which he revealed himself by his Son. So we look at the dignity and the glory of Christ, which should bring us to the understanding of this gospel of Jesus Christ, what it brings to us. And so we will look at the one with the very marrow, the very gist of the matter, even the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see and look at the glory of his office. And look at the glory of his office. And then the second, we look at the glory of his person. And thirdly, we would look at the glory of his death and the resurrection. And these are the three things which we shall look unto, and then in a way of application, and hear what the gospel says. How does it speak of this God man? How does it speak of him when he calls sinners unto himself? And look at the excellence of the message, the dignity of it, and from the looking at this angle, the dignity of who that speaks, and so that we would, as it is the word of God says, look unto me and be ye saved, O ye ends of the earth, for I am God, there is none else. that will hear what the gospel draws us unto. The one that speaketh, he speaketh from heaven. The one that speaketh, his voice is heard. And the one that speaketh, call upon the whole earth. O earth, hear the word of God. It is him that speaketh. Speaketh salvation of our souls. So we look at the glory and the office of Christ. What is it said here concerning this one? Who speaketh now unto us in these last times? Whereby he hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Heir of all things. The very one who is God. He the heir of all things. The very God man. And the one who is the mediator between God and man. And here we find God has put upon him. All things are in his hand. There is that is the greatest office, that is the glorious office of the Lord Jesus Christ. So much so that God was pleased with him, and he is pleased with him, and the Father is pleased with his Son. And when he came to undertake this work, the work of saving poor sinners, so much so that it is said of him that he hath laid upon him who hath appointed him heir of all things. He governs all things. He is the heir of all things. There is none above him. His voice is so powerful. There is no voice that is powerful which is above him. So it is the Lord Jesus Christ. He has all the qualities. He has all the rights. Because he is God. In the work of saving poor sinners, we find him undertaking this great work to be a mediator. And God had laid all things. He has been appointed the heir of all things by whom he had made the world. As we find what is said of him, that in the beginning there was the Word was God, and without him nothing was created. All things were created by him. He is the creator of all things by the word of his power. It is the very word that was heard at the beginning. It is the very word whom we hear what it said, that the word became flesh. Who is this one who now is taking upon himself the bone of our bone, the flesh of our flesh? He is the mediator. Is the mediator between God and man. And so we see him. What it is said, he is the creator. All things were created by him. And through him, so we see, we are rising up. We are ascending to discover of the excellence of Christ. So much so that we'll discover the excellence of his word. Who is this one? Whom it is spoken about him. See the glory that shineth in Christ Jesus, appointed by his Father from all eternity to be the heir of all things, by whom he has made the worlds. So this is the Lord Jesus Christ, which we see here, whom God is saying, he spoke unto us by his Son. This is the God man who is laid before us, that we do not look mean of him, that we do raise our heads and see the glory of his office, and see the dignity of himself as the heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So that is the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God has spoken unto him, who speaks unto us in these gospel times. This is what the gospel is about. It is about of this one appointed of God, and being the heir of all things, and all things given unto him, all power given unto him, And they saw the lady upon him, and so that is the Lord Jesus Christ, whom it is said God spoke unto him, God unto us by his Son, by his eternal Son, by this one who is God himself, by this one who created all things, by this one who undertook upon himself this great work to be the Redeemer, who himself came into this world, came being a mediator between God and man, and in two distinct natures and one person forever. And so it is him. See the glory of his office in undertaking this great work, as God was revealing, revealing to us the work of salvation that was accomplished by Christ at the cross of Calvary, which he came to do, and by so saying, so willing to do this work, I come, I delight to do thy will, O Father. Because him and the Father are one, he has come to do the will of his Father. And the Father has appointed him in this great office of being a mediator and being a savior, as his word is, as his name say, his name shall be called Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. He is called Christ, the anointed of God. And so he is Emmanuel, which is God with us. Is it not a great wonder? Don't we see the glory in this one, in this great office, that which he has been appointed to undertake by his Father, and so willing also to undertake this office, the work in this office, to satisfy the will of his Father. So we see the office of Christ. It is a great wonder of it, and its gloriousness cannot be compared. He cannot be compared with the prophet of old. They spoke of shadows. They saw the day far away, but here he comes. He is the very Son of righteousness that has risen, and so we see his glorious office, coming to undertake this great work, to save poor sinners. As he is equal with God, equal with the Father, so it is of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find, being the heir of things whom he also made the world, and so by him the world was. Without him, I can do nothing. Without him, nothing could be done. But it was by him, and by him alone, the very eternal Son of God, undertaking that which he undertook in the covenant of grace, to come into this world to deliver his people from the state of sin and misery, and to bring them to a state of salvation. That was by Christ, the Redeemer. So it was his office, and the gloriousness of that office. God is saying of him, he had appointed heir of all things by whom he has made the world. And so we see the glory of his office. And also we notice again the glory of the person of Christ. See, the glory of the person of Christ. What a great wonder. As it is said, it was said to Moses, no one can see God and live. None at all can see God and live. But here is God in the flesh, tabernacled in the flesh. And so he coming here, as it is said here, that he is who being the brightness of his glory, seeing the glory of God. And the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, the twin God shining there, as we understand, we hear of him. As soon after he was baptized in Jordan, we hear the voice from God in heaven. This is my beloved Son. We see the Holy Spirit descending upon the Son. We see the Son undertaking the work by the power of the Holy Spirit. The twin God united and shining in the face of Christ. God shining in Christ Jesus. And so much so that we have seen God. We have seen Christ, have seen God. That is a great wonder, my friend. The wonder of the grace of God. What it has done to us by revealing these mysteries, that which by the carnal mind we can be in disarray, and so that he is, this is what we desire, that the Holy Spirit would show us these things, enlighten us, and behold him, and see him as the one who saw him, saying of him, thou art fairer than the children of men, when the brightness of God was shining in unto him, when men saw nothing in him, but he said, he sees this, thou art fairer than the children of men. Here is the brightness of Christ, as we find here, the brightness of his glory, showing, being also manifesting the glory of his Father, and so manifesting the love of his Father, and manifesting the mercy of God. It was so clear, and it shined forth in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the one whom God has spoken unto us by him, whom he has revealed himself in him, so much so that being a man and God, two distinct natures and one person forever, and he willingly undertook upon himself, for no the bone of our bone, the flesh of our flesh, no one can see God and live. But here now, God has availed himself, as it was so with Moses, when God was passing by, in his glory, I will hide you in a cliff, and so that you will not see the face of God, but you'll see the back parts of him. And so it was God here appearing. So it is God here appearing in our human nature, having taken upon himself, so that it could be said, he is the brightness of his Father. Those that have seen Christ have seen God. This is the only way that God has revealed unto us. And so the brightness of God shining in Christ Jesus. What a great wonder and the great mystery of the gospel. Who knew of that? Who could know of that? Who could reveal these things unto us? Who can reveal this great knowledge? To know of God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent, shining in the brightness of the glory of the Father, and speaking unto us by the very one whom God is saying, here he shines with the brightness of the glory of shining with the glory of his Father. This is the very one who spoke, whom he speaks unto us. Is the gospel a mean thing? Is the gospel to be despised? Don't you see the matter? It is the matter of the gospel. That's why, my friends, the gospel without Christ is no gospel. They might have many ways to say, but the gospel without Christ is no gospel, cannot save. And a man their eyes cannot be opened. There is no blessings upon that gospel. Here it is the blessing. Let us look unto him, the very one who was so humiliated. And let us look unto him as so Simeon looked unto him. When he saw this infant, he saw nothing other than the salvation of God. He saw nothing other than the brightness of the of God, here being shown, glorying in Christ, and this is what we see: the brightness of God in Christ. Simeon saw that. He doesn't say he saw an infant. He says, this is the salvation of God. My eyes have seen the salvation of God. He has seen the mind of God. He has seen the accomplishment of the promises. He has seen by faith the accomplishment of the salvation of man. He has seen in this infant the brightness of God, the excellency of Christ, the excellence of his word, the excellence of his promises in Christ. Why so? God is shining. The glory of God is shining in Christ. And so he says, thy servant can now rest in peace, depart in peace, because my eyes have seen God, have seen the brightness of God. I am satisfied. So it is of Christ being the brightness of his glory. There is the glory of the person of Christ. So that who sees him sees God. And so God is shining so brightly in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is that it is the express image. In so much so that there is no doubt. As it was so no doubt when Peter, in his confession, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art Christ. And so he saw God, he saw the glory of God. He saw God when he saw Christ. And so it is, my friend, when we see Christ, it is said of him, the express image of his person. The express image of his person. So we see the glory. The glory of the person of Christ, that he is God, equal with the Father, the very one from all eternity. And here what he expresses the image of God, and the very God himself. And so that who see him would not doubt that they have seen another man. They have seen another creator, but they have seen the God man. They have seen God revealed in the flesh. They've seen God in tabernacle, in the bone of our bone, in the flesh of our flesh. That's why it is a great mystery, the mystery of the incarnation of Christ, which we see here, God in the flesh, speaking unto us, so that we would come boldly to the throne of grace, because this one has come to undertake this great work, to be an offering for sin. And so that's why it is said, the blood of God, it is the blood of God that was shed. So it is what he speaks of Christ. He is God. Me and my Father are one. I have come to do the will of Father. I've not come to do my own will, but of what the Father has sent me. And this is what I delight. I delight to do the will of my Father. And so here is one who has the mind of God, even from all eternity. And he entered in the covenant of grace with his Father. And so this is the plan of salvation, revealed before the foundation of the world, that God would visit this poor earth, this sinful world. He would visit it by his own Son, and that his son would come and do the will of his Father and express the image of his Father, so much so that who see him see God, who see him see the Father. The mind which is expressing before them is the mind of the Father. It has come to the will of the Father. And so we see then Christ, as it is said, the express image of his Father, showing the glory of his Father. The glory of his Father, whereby God dwells, the fullness of God dwells in him. It dwells in him. We have no doubt. We are not to doubt. We should receive it by faith. That is what faith accepts. That is what saving faith accepts. Seeing Christ as God And so it was the joy of that man who the Ethiopian eunuch on his way returned to his home. What was his joy? His joy was that he has discovered God in Christ. God in Christ. And so it is God in Christ appealing, calling upon us. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. God in Christ. So this is the one whom it is said, the express image of his person. And upholding all things by the word of his power. Showing that it all has been given unto him. All has been given unto him by the Father. As it was so of Joseph of old in the Old Testament. What did we read of him? When all powers given unto him. Whoever would seek to be fed. It was for him to go to Joseph. And so, if one would go to Pharaoh would say to him, go to Joseph, that's where he would get food. It was in the hands of Joseph. That is the power which Christ has, given of the Father. And so it is, my friend. He governs all things by his providence, and all creatures and all their actions. All things are in his hand. The weight of the salvation of the children of men has been laid upon Christ, and it is him whom God has revealed his plan to save sinners, has revealed his will, and that it is all laid upon the Son of God, upon Christ Jesus, whom we hear that it is now God speaking unto us by this one whom he has laid upon all things, and he who has undertaken all the weighty of saving poor sinners. It is upon and shouldered upon Christ. And so what a great wonder then that we meet in the gospel. And when it brings Christ shining forth, and when it brings the glory of his office among us, when it brings the glory of his person, that he is the image of the Father. What a great mystery that has been revealed. None can reveal these things unto us. Even the wise men of this world, they can come to that knowledge, for this knowledge cometh from above, revealed by God the Holy Spirit in the hearts of his people, so much so that they would come to him, and so much so that they would see him as fairer than the children of men. So what a great mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ that is set forth before us. And bringing Christ in his glory, and bringing Christ in the glory of his person, and so much so that here it is one whom in the last times God spoke unto us. The excellency of the gospel. The excellence of the gospel. As we try to bring the glory of Christ, and so that you would see the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The word that has been spoken to us in the gospel, in the propagating of the gospel, and the marrow of the matter is Christ. And who is this Christ? The eternal Son of God. The very one who is God himself, equal with the Father, and the very one with the Creator of heaven and earth. And here he has come. He has come in this world. He is tabernacled in the flesh, having taken upon himself the bone of our bone, the flesh of our flesh, being God and being the everlasting God, separated from sin and defiled, the Holy God. Here he comes, and here is a place for us and for everyone to draw nigh and behold him, and to draw nigh to the cross of Calvary. When some are mocking of it, And those that have seen the image of God, this is what they say. This is what they witness of him. This is, he is fairer. He is fairer than the children of men. And so it is by his, what comes out of his lips. Grace, it is grace. Grace, grace cometh out of his lips. So what a great wonder to behold this one whom God has provided. To behold this one who has undertaken upon himself to do this great work. Which is the great work? That is the marrow of the matter. The marrow of the matter. The pillars of salvation. Whereby sinners by faith might would hold upon and be unmovable. They shall not be ashamed. They shall not be disappointed. For he never disappointed them. And so that's why when some are mocking away with this man, away with this man, but here they say, they behold him by the eye of faith. Thou art fairer than the children of man. When they look at the wounds and the stripes, to them they are precious in their soul, because it was the way for the whereby it was open for their escape. It is the place whereby this blood oozed out of his body, so much so that they are hidden in the place of their hiding. So he is precious to them, because we hear now in our third place concerning his death and his resurrection. What is it said? What we find especially in verse 3 when it is said when he had by himself paid our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. When he had by himself, not by any other, not by the blood of the bulls, not by the blood of the goats, but by himself, by his own blood, as a lamb to be offered. And so we see him in his sufferings, when he suffered even the cursed death of the cross, as he says, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. And it was of his delight to do the will of God. What was it of that he was to do? What was this is it that which he came to do? He came to die. He came to offer himself for a sacrifice for sin. He came to die the cursed death. That's why the word of God says, behold the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God that was to be offered. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Also Christ, my friend, we find him in this great work which he undertook to do in the covenant of grace, which was from all eternity in this plan. As he said of him, he is the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. In the fullness of time, he must come. As it is said, he did come. And he was born of a woman made under the law. And so we see him undergoing all the miseries in this life. But he knew no sin. There was no sin found in him. But he burdened with the sins of his people. Those people whom God gave him, those whom God elected in him and loved in him, that he must purchase them by his own blood, and that he must himself suffer. He must be an atonement of their sins. And so that's why when he said he had by himself, not by any other, but by himself, as he has been given of this work to do by the Father, as he has undertaken to do this work of a mediator, to be a qualified mediator, he must by himself, Not by any other, not by any substitute of any other, but by himself. He must atone for the sins of his people. He must pay the price as he did so. When we behold him at the cross of Calvary, what we see there, the suffering Savior. And what we see there, we see sin punished upon him, the sins of his people. We have already said he knew no sin, but here upon him, sin was punished. The wrath of God was poured unreservingly. And he drank the cup of the wrath of God. He must pay the price, because he has undertaken to pay the price. He must pay the guilt of his people. And the one who had no sin, he must purge them from their sins. This must be accomplished. This must be accepted of the Father. That is what is was of Christ. This is what the great work of redemption and salvation of men, how it came to be, and how we are today, as standing firm upon this truth, declaring these matters unto poor sinners, that hear what God has done, hear what God speaks of his own Son, what his Son has done. This is the great work by himself, being one whom we offended. But here he comes in the place of his people, and to deliver them from the state of sin and misery, and bring them to a state of salvation by himself, which is Christ by himself. By himself, no other. That's why the word of God is that there is no salvation by any other. By himself. That is the only way out. That is the only way of escape that has been opened for us. That's where we see the glory of the grace of God in this covenant of grace, and in his taking upon himself our nature, and in offering himself for a sacrifice for sin, and satisfying the divine justice of God. So that he says, let this go, and let me come in their place. He is the surety of his people. By himself, not by any other. By himself. Glorious is the work of Christ. That is what the gospel is about. This is the gospel. A gospel without Christ is no gospel. It is, we say this because it was by himself. And it was by himself. And as it was by himself, we see then the acceptance of this work. When he had satisfied the divine justice of God, and when he had offered himself for a sacrifice, when he had offered himself, as we see him offering himself at the cross of Calvary, he never went left or right, but he faced the ascent of the Mount of Calvary, burdened by the sins of his people, in his mind, in his heart, with the delight and the determined to procure a salvation for them and redemption by his own blood. Very determined. Nothing could stop him. An enemy could not stop him. The voices that thundered, away, away with this man, would not stop him, because he had undertaken this by himself. He must procure redemption by himself. He must take away the sins of his people by his own blood. He was so determined that he died, even the cursed death of the cross. He was not ashamed of this great work which was upon him. Very determined. So it was the Son of God. He would did not rest until he has prepared them from their our sins. He could not stop. He was determined. He would not rest on the way until all is final, until he says it is finished. So it was so of Christ by himself. Not by any other, but by himself. This is what the gospel is about. By this one who by himself paid our sins. By this great work which he did at the cross of Calvary, in the place of his people. Who are his people? It is those whom the Father gave him before the foundation of the world. Who are his people? It is those that believe unto him. Who are his people? It is those that know him. That those that know him. Those whom it could be said, this knowledge cometh not from flesh and blood. This knowledge cometh from heaven. It has been revealed unto them from heaven. So they see the one who by himself laid down his life, who by himself became a sacrifice, who by himself was an atonement for their sins. So this was Christ, my friend. It is him whom God has spoken unto us. He has spoken by this one, by his son. Is it a message to be despised? Is it a message to be despised? When we hear the great work of salvation, which Christ did. And so, it is said then, after he had done that, and so we see, we read of him, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. After he had done that, God raised him so high and gave him a name which is above all names. Hey, this is Christ Jesus. He exalted him so high. And so it is, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And so it he was lifted up in the cross of Calvary to die. And so in that great work, we see what we see, lifted up in heaven, exalted so high, with given a great name, a name above every name. That was Christ, my friend. And he sat on the right hand of God the Father. When he rose as a conqueror, when he had conquered power of sin, he has conquered Satan. There was no set day other than this day to the power of darkness. When he thought of it, that it had beheld him and the grave, but it was said of him, he is not here, he is risen. And what does that mean? Meant that God has been satisfied with the sacrifice of Christ. What did that mean? It meant the confirmation that God was pleased with this work of Christ. What does that mean? It meant that here is one who is the captain of our salvation, who has gone through all, and he has by his own blood purchased salvation for poor sinners. What does that mean? That a way to return to God is now open, and that way is through his blood. That is the way that has been opened. And so that God was pleased with Christ, so he's pleased with those who are in Christ Jesus. And so those who are in Christ Jesus, it confirms unto them that they are the partakers of all the benefits which Christ purchased for them at the Calvary's cross. So God confirms all that. That is salvation now is unto men, and that those that would doubt, their doubt is in vain. But it is the truth of the matter. And to those that believe, God has accepted the sacrifice, and God is willing to be reconciled with the sinners through Christ, who knew no sin, but who was made sin in our stead, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. Here is one, all power is given unto him. him in heaven and earth. Here is one who is now able to save to the uttermost, to those that come to God by him. He is seated on the right hand of God. So much so that those that are the despisers of him, yes, they might have despised his coming because he came in his humiliation. But what do you say today? This one who was so humiliated, here he is so exalted, so high. Why shall it be, as it is said, all knees shall bow down, and they shall confess that Christ is the Lord, to the glory of the Father. He sat on the right hand of God. He was exalted so high, and sat on the right hand of God, with the hand of power. And so, as we read, that when he was lifted, when he had paid our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. That is the place of this glorious Christ, through this glorious work which he did of his death and of his resurrection. Where is the doubt? Where is the doubt of this one? Where is the doubt? God has raised him. He's on the right hand of the power, the right hand of his majesty, all power given unto him. And so God was pleased with that work. And so he exalted him so high, gave him a name above all names. So it was after he had made atonement of the sins of his people, sat on the right hand of his power. So it was Christ. Then here is one who has been exalted so high. Here is one whom the psalmist say, this is the day which the Lord has made, we shall rejoice. What joy. It was a great joy when it was said, he is risen. He is not here. It was a great joy. It is a great joy even today. That is the strength of their faith. This is where they hold upon, in his death and his resurrection. He died. He offered himself to purge our sins. He suffered so much. He shed his own blood. He died the cursed death of the cross, burdened with the sins of his people. Then God was satisfied of him, satisfied of the sacrifice, raised him up, exalted him so high. And so it was Paul, when in his preaching, after he had been converted and sent to preach, he preached Christ him crucified. Preached Christ him crucified. Now God is speaking by him, whom we have spoken much about him, whom we have spoken so gloriously about him. And the message, so is the message, so is the excellence of the message, and so is the gospel that comes unto us. And so it is, as it is said in the second chapter of the Hebrews. It is said, How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? That is what the gospel is saying. Here is salvation laid before you. Here is what the word of God is calling you. Here is what God is saying. God in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Here is the message of the gospel. Be reconciled with God through Christ. And so it is the only way that a poor sinner might have peace with God. And this is what the gospel is saying. This is what God is saying, revealing his mind to his own people, the mind to save them, and revealing the work of Christ, that what Christ has done, it is this which is accepted. And those that believe in him, they are accepted. This is the call of the gospel, and that they would not look not to any other, Father, but to look unto him, to look unto Christ, so that they will be saved. For there is no other God than me. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. This is the message here in UK. This is the message in Africa. This is the message in Australia. This is the message of the whole world. And what is the gist of the message? Christ, him crucified. It is here, God, speaking by his Son, speaking unto us, God in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, God in Christ, beseeching you, that you look unto him, and that you'll be saved. That is the message. Those that are the bearers of this message, carry all over the world, wherever they are, that there is no salvation by any other. There is no name given under heaven, but this name only, Jesus, which speaketh salvation to poor sinners, and that they would look unto him who died and rose again, and he stands before them as the unmovable pillars, those that would run, that they would run to him and hold him by faith, looking at the work which he has done. Great is thy work, great is this work. What would we be if it was not so? What would we be if Christ did not come and die? And what would we be if he died and never rose again? But here today, he died and rose again. Sin was punished upon himself, upon his body. At the cross of Calvary, sin was punished satisfactorily. When he stood in the place of his people, the frowning divine justice of God, when it is saw the payment being done, there was a smile, in so that unto those that would come to Christ and hide, when it looks unto them, there is a smile, because it was satisfied in Christ Jesus, who in their place did this great work for them, who in their place undertook, determined to purchase them salvation, so much so that they become partakers of these things which were purchased by Christ, and so much so that it could be said they are the children of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great wonder that the gospel of Christ brings. What a great wonder that God has manifested unto us. What a great wonder of the excellency of the gospel, which it calleth upon poor sinners, those that have no hope, that they will be the children of hope in this way that Christ is open for them. So it was, and it is. That is the mission of the gospel. That's why it was, God commissioned, Christ commissioned it with authority. Begin here in Jerusalem, go into the whole world and preach the gospel. Begin here in Jerusalem, go to Judea, go to Samaria, go to the whole ends of the earth. That's why it is where we are. That was the message of the gospel. What are they to preach? Christ him crucified. What are they to preach? He died for our sins. He rose for our justification. What a great wonder. This is the mystery of the gospel. Yes, people might see foolishness in it, but it is the power and the wisdom of God. They see foolishness because they perish. But to those that are saved, this is what they see in this. The power and the wisdom of God in the gospel, which points them to Christ. When they look at the glorious work of Christ, when they look at the glory of his person, when they look at the glory of his office, he is one. Who is fit for to save sinners? Here is one who is able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by him, will you not flee to him? When the gospel says, flee for your life. Flee for your life. There is a place of refuge. There is a place of refuge. Flee for your life. Time is short. Flee for your life. Flee to Christ Jesus. Flee and embrace him by faith. Stretch out the hands of faith and embrace him. Ah, flee to Christ. He's qualified. And his work has been accepted. And God has exalted him so high. And that has given him a name which is above all name. He seated on the right hand of God. He has conquered his enemies, subdued his enemies, and the enemies of his people. He has subdued them under his feet. So that's why he says to the little flock, fear not. That they have not to fear. Because the captain of their salvation has conquered for them. He is going before them. He shall conquer. He shall go conquering and conquering and conquering. As he did conquer the power of darkness, the power of sin, the power of Satan. And they opened the way. And so it is. When we read in the beginning, when men sinned, what we hear about, a two-edged sword was put outside the Garden of Eden to prevent anyone to attempt to go to the to return to the tree of life. And so it was when we see when he came, and he had undertaken upon himself to open that way. And so he went face to face with the wrath of God, and it was commanded to rise against him, and it rose and appeared satisfactory, and it was satisfied. Now the way has been opened. Because it has been satisfied. The payment has been paid. Because the demands of the divine justice of God were satisfied. So here, look unto Christ. That is the only way. That is the only way. That is what the gospel says. And it emphasizes then these words which are before us. That God has spoken unto us. By his son. He has spoken unto us. By his, in these last times. In the last times. In the New Testament. He has spoken unto us by his son. Not by visions. Not by types. But clearly. By his son. Who has an ear. Let him hear. He has spoken unto us by his son. Who this is his son. The glorious son of God. In his glorious office, in his glorious person, in his glorious work. That is what is underlined, so that you stand firm by faith in Christ. That you will have no doubt and be unmovable. What the gospel is saying, it is God speaking to you by his son. That is what the gospel, will you then despise the word of God? Will you have this kind of belief in the Lord Jesus Christ? Thou shalt be saved. That is the message from above. Christ has done it. He has done it. He has done it. Believe unto him alone. He will save you to the uttermost. Save to the uttermost those that believe, come unto him by faith. So, especially as we conclude, this should be in our mind. Concerning Christ, that when he had him by himself paid our sins, set down on the right hand of majesty on high. So now it was by no less than a person. It was the Son of God. It was Christ. And so it is. Believe in him, thou shalt be saved. This is the call of the gospel. May God bless to us his word. Let us pray. Eternal and ever blessed Lord, help us by thine Holy Spirit to enlighten us of these things which are so glorious to those that believe, and the preciousness of Christ when it is spoken of his death and his resurrection. That we will see the life of God shining in the face of Christ, and that we would by faith draw nigh unto him. We ask, O Lord, that may that it please thee to pour thine Holy Spirit and draw us unto thee, and that we'll see these wondrous things which are in thy law. Be with us now for this day. Bless thine own word in this part of the world and the other countries where we are as the branch of thy visible church. We ask, O Lord, that at the end of all thou wilt gather a people unto thyself that shall be called by thine own name. Bless us and to us good, pardon us all our sins and save us graciously. All we ask in Christ's name, we pray. Amen.